Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Thursday, November 30th of 2023. I am Paul Gallant. We are hanging out this afternoon at East River 9. Now, on most days, this would be the best view of Houston's skyline in the city. Not today, but guess what? Come on out. Have some drinks. Have some food. Love the chicken sandwich that they have here. It's like a Buffalo Nashville chicken sandwich. It's really good. So we're going to be here all day long in the Riverhouse restaurant. Getting you ready for Blues Fest on Saturday. All right. It's time to turn our attention to the biggest game of the season for the Houston Texans. It's the biggest day of our lives today, Sunday, though. Massive game. Playoff implications. And I have a question, because the Texans could have taken another path. In an alternate universe, maybe Sean Payton is the head coach of the Houston Texans right now. And it does make me wonder, as we get closer and closer to this game, about these two coaches and just comparing the two of them. Because obviously we know right now, before this Texans-Broncos game, the Texans have the better quarterback in C.J. Stroud. The Broncos have the better defense. The head coaches, though, you got D'Amico Ryans in his first year. You got Sean Payton in his 16th season, his first with Denver. Sean's considered one of the league's best. And if we're picking between these two right now for a playoff stretch, I don't think it's that controversial to say that you would take Sean Payton here. You're taking Sean Payton for December. You're taking Sean Payton for January. Until D'Amico Ryans, obviously, has a little more pelts on the wall. Right now, Sean Payton's the guy with the pelts. And December, January, he does pretty well. 58% winning percentage. We haven't seen D'Amico Ryans there yet. This game on Sunday, first game of December. Now, I don't know if Sean Payton has somehow found his way into the Coach of the Year conversation based off of rebounding from a 1-5 start with five straight wins, especially considering his team lost 70-20 this year to the Miami Dolphins, which is something that hadn't happened in a while. They lost to the Raiders in the first week of the year. They lost to the Commanders. They lost to the Jets in the Nathaniel Hackett Bowl. But he has done a hell of a job over the last couple of weeks. Five wins in a row. And considering he's working with a quarterback who has looked past his prime for the past two-plus seasons, I think that since early October, he's done a better job than D'Amico Ryans as well. Take a look at D'Amico Ryans, his defense, and some of the mistakes that the Texans seem to keep on making. They've struggled against Desmond Ridder, Bryce Young, Baker Mayfield. They also struggle against Trevor Lawrence. Pretty good for the most part against Kyler Murray. Pretty good for the most part against Joe Burrow. But a couple of big plays that they allowed against him. So this might be a talent problem. Denver has more to work with. But Sean Payton's coaching better than D'Amico Ryans right now. And on top of that, I think that there are some questions just about the last couple of weeks for D'Amico Ryans, because this team does seem to be making the same mistakes over and over again. Not to say he's a bad coach or anything like that. I'm sure some people will take this as such, but down the stretch, you're picking between Sean Payton and D'Amico Ryans. Right now, I think you got to pick Sean Payton because somehow, some way, the Broncos are winning in spite of one Russell Wilson. So you want to jump aboard and enter that conversation, 713-780-3776 to call and to text. And Sean Mapes is hanging out with me with a rainbow-colored headband. I like it.
What's up?
It's a good look.
Thank you.
D'Amico or Sean Payton, who would you take down the stretch?
Down the stretch for this year, I think you're right. I think you go with Sean Payton just because with coaching, there does need to be a little bit of a track record, I feel like, to base your thoughts on this person. You know, like, you can't just go like, well, D'Amico's done a really good job so far.
Yes.
But you're right about December, January. And these are both teams that, the winner of them is going to be looking to make the playoffs. This is a big wild card game.
Oh, it is a wild card game already. This
yes.
is the playoffs, Sean. It's December football.
Oh my God.
What? The cliches need to be out there. It's the biggest game of the season.
Is this December football? Oh, yeah. I guess
it is.
Technically it is.
It's
going to be December.
It'll be December 3rd, 2023, Sean. It's December.
Again, I maybe I'm just so still worn out from the Astros September discussion.
I'm sorry. I think that every game is the most important game of the season.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Some people take it seriously every game. You're Mr. NBA over here. You just want to play three quarters of a game.
Yeah, just let me know when the courts are painted different. All right. Where it's the Astros played 2 weeks of playoff games before the playoffs started. Now it's like, well, this is kind of a playoff game for the Texans too. Fine, sure, whatever. I do think, though, that Sean Payton does deserve credit for not just, like, winning in spite of Russell Wilson, but kind of getting Russell Wilson to, at least for now, the least, like, last 6 weeks, to buy in to kind of being Seattle Russell Wilson. Because he is complimentary football, like, to its finest right now.
And by Seattle Russell Wilson, we're talking 2012, 2013.
Yes, like,
the ego had not developed into the monstrosity it was the last couple of years.
And where he was like the Cadillac of game managers.
Yes.
Where he was like the top of the line, like, game manager type. I don't even know who would be, like, in the current NFL, who would be maybe like a Tua or like a Brock Purdy.
But the difference is that Russ could run.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
why he was a game manager Cadillac. I love that comparison. Now, here's the thing. You take a look at the numbers, and I was on a radio
not
station in
eye-popping.
Denver yesterday. No, they are not eye-popping. So as one texter says, this is actually a Vance Joseph coaching job. He's coaching better than D'Amico. But I think to what you just said, Sean Payton has gotten Russell Wilson to, for lack of a better term, shut the F up.
Yeah.
He's gotten him to stop saying, hey, I need to cook. Let me cook. He did that so much during the end in Seattle to the point that I wanted to stop doing radio and stop talking about sports in Seattle. Now, that did happen naturally because I got bleep canned.
Because of Russell Wilson.
Hey, at least I was right about Russell Wilson. I mean, I don't get to do a touchdown dance about it because I was gone after the fact. But, man, that last year, I just could not stand how he was acting and how passive-aggressive he was being. So, to Sean Payton's credit, you get a egomaniac like Russell Wilson, who is an egomaniac, who was all about his legacy, who was all about the Russell Wilson brand, to shut up and buy in. I mean, that takes some doing.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. I do like when Coach of the Years get credit for how bad. And this, Sean Payton is in the coach. I think these are probably the top two coaches of the year off the top of my head, unless I'm wrong. I know Dan Campbell gets a lot of love for it, but it's like he took a team that was, I think, on the cusp. Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs. They're on the cusp
they
of
were
the playoffs.
Close.
They like started week 18 with a chance to make the playoffs.
They did.
And now they're, what, 8-3, 7-3, something like that. So I do like that Sean Payton's getting credit for, like, this was a bleep show.
It does
like,
go
the
to show
first
you.
4 weeks of the season.
It's really about when you do stuff.
Oh, 100%.
It's dumb. I mean, with the college football playoff right now, the reason that Texas is seventh is because of when that win against Alabama happened. And it is the same thing right now. Sean Payton should not be seriously entertained in any of these conversations. They were an effing disaster to start the year. Yeah. But he does deserve credit for what he's doing lately.
For recovering.
Right. And I think that there is something to be said for a team that gets better over a season. And Sean Payton's got a pretty damn good record the last couple of months of the year. since he's been there and done that before, like, you expect the Broncos to continue to improve to some in some degree. I am waiting to see that with D'Amico Ryans and the Texans. Not to say it can't happen. I just feel like we've been seeing a lot of the same for the last 2 months from them, and specifically when it comes to their defense and how they've fared against quarterbacks out there.
Yeah, the Texans do, which is funny because they hired a defensive head coach, and the Broncos hired an offensive head coach. And really, when you think about these teams, they kind of are the opposites, because the Texans feel like they win a lot of shootout-y kind of games where it's you're just trying to give the ball to C.J. Stroud as many times as possible, and it's going to be the Bucs game. It's mm-hmm. going to be games like that. Whereas, like, the Broncos are just playing, like, the best team in, like, 2003 instead of
yeah.
instead of 2023. Like, they have games where Russell Wilson's throwing it, like, 20 times, which is, like, that by itself is just, like, where are we? When are we? Like, what is happening with this team? And
it works. If you make it work,
and that's what good coaches do.
They adapt to what you have around you. Yeah. And they went from thinking Russell Wilson could still be a franchise quarterback to saying, you know what? Nah, dial it back. We'll pay you all this money. Just make sure you don't F up. And his TD to interception ratio is pretty damn good this year. 20-4.
When they're losing 70 to, what was it, like 20?
Yeah, it was 70-20 to the Dolphins.
To the Dolphins. It was, oh my God, this team's going to probably have to draft a quarterback and just eat all this dead money on Russ. And now I feel like you feel better with where they're at. I mean, obviously, like you mentioned with the ego stuff with Russ, like maybe after the season he's like, bleep that. I'm glad we maybe made the wild card. Maybe we're a game out of the wild card, but it's time to let Russ cook again.
Right.
But as long as that doesn't happen, I feel like they're in a pretty good spot to at least like not have to pay – Russell Wilson $50 million to go away. Like they don't have to do that. And that is a good thing when you're running a team.
100%.
We don't have to hope that we draft someone good and spend a lot of money to do it.
He is Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Someone did text in here on the Paul Gallant Show. We're at East River 9 that Peyton won one Super Bowl with a Hall of Famer at quarterback. The onside kick goes wrong. He's not much more than an above average coach. I'll make this argument every single day. Drew Brees held back Sean Payton in the last 3 years that the two were together. They were 13-3, 13-3, and 12-4. And everyone blames the pass interference call that wasn't called in that game against the Los Angeles Rams. I'm sorry, Drew Brees stunk in that game. He was bad. He threw a terrible interception in overtime. Brees is the reason that their season came to an end each of those last 3 years. I do think that there should be at least one Super Bowl appearance from those 3 years for the Saints. Who knows what happens in a game like that? But I do think Payton's a good coach. Is he a tad of a hardo? Does he like the smell of his own farts a little bit too much? Probably, but down the stretch, I would take Sean Payton over D'Amico. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text, and you can join on Twitch too. twitch.tv/ESPN975. Coming up next.
On the Northern Bank of Buffalo Bayou, you'll find the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at East River 9 and its current occupant, Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. On the text line from the 409, did Sean Payton get Russell Wilson to shut up? Or did Geno Smith and Pete Carroll shut him up last season? That's from 409, Josh. No, I really do think it's Sean Payton that got him to shut up. And you know who got me to shut up just now? John Granato when he unplugged the station. That happened. But we're live at East River 9. And listen, now John Granato and I have even more in common, because I too have unplugged a radio station before. I did that in college. I showed up.
Oh, yeah.
I showed up, and the college radio station that we had a plug. And you've seen Christmas Vacation where Clark Griswold is plugging in to a plug that maybe has an extension on an extension on an extension. Yeah, I accidentally kicked that with my hungover foot. And I got crap for that for the entire rest of my time in college. Right. I feel like it was a fire hazard and I was actually protecting everybody. But that's just me. Yeah, what I did.
By kicking the fire hazard. I think that's rightfully so. I think you deserve to catch grief for that. at least for the rest of the, you know, 2.5 years or year and a half. Like, that's just a thing that will get brought up every time you're doing another broadcast.
Okay.
I stand with the Big J journos at Syracuse.
I don't. They can all kiss my ass. That place is a bunch of dorks. I am a dork myself, but at least I'm the least dorky of the dorks. Right, Sean? Oh, you're just going to be quiet? They're fine. Kiss my ass, too.
I thought you were pivoting.
I don't know who that is talking right now. 713-780-3776 to call into text, and you can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Before we went to the break, I did want to say, you know, we made a lot of fun of the Astros training staff this year, mainly because whenever Dusty Baker was asked about an Astros injury, he wouldn't know what was going on. Now, I don't know if that was because he was trying to, in some way, shape, or form, you know, abide by HIPAA law or something like that. But the Houston Texans might have a problem like this right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'll explain why in just a moment. But yesterday, we saw that Tytus Howard is officially on injured reserve. DeMeco Ryans, the head coach of the Houston Texans, said yesterday that Tytus Howard had been battling through an injury for a while before ultimately he got carted off the field on Sunday. Here's the head coach of the Houston Texans.
Tytus has done a good job of battling through. Appreciate Titus's toughness and trying to push through and play, you know, through some difficult injuries there. Tytus is a fighter. Appreciate him. And he did a good job for us.
Now, if you remember, when Kenyon Green went down for the year, Nick Caserio implied the same thing, that he had been battling through some injuries for a while, also some personal stuff, too. And then when Green gets shelved for the season after that awful play against the New Orleans Saints in the preseason, where it just looked bad, and I guess you're thankful that he was hurt, seeing as he's a first-round pick of you not too long ago. But do the Houston Texans have a Buddy Kilmer problem? You might be wondering what I'm saying when I say Buddy Kilmer. Well, for anyone who's watched the late 90s, early 2000s movie Varsity Blues with Paul Gallant lookalike James Vanderbeek, you might remember at the very end of the movie that Buddy Kilmer has gotten a little bit too crazy with making his injured players play. Here's a clip from that.
Hey, Coach, I heard a pop. You know, I think he's hurt pretty bad.
You get out of here. Y'all wouldn't know anything about dedication, team play.
But I would. Don't do it, Wendell. It's not worth it, man.
You gonna listen to that from a gimp who's praying that we'll lose so he can be the missing link?
Maybe I shouldn't do it.
Get the hell out of here.
Don't do it.
Before I lose my temper, get out!
Don't do it, Wendell. Get out of here. If that needle goes anywhere near Wendell's leg, I swear to God on my mother's grave, I will rip your arms off and beat you to death with them.
You stay the hell out of this, Billy Bob. This has nothing to do with you.
This has to do with all of us. We kill ourselves for you. Year round, we play hurt, we play sick, and we spend most of that time scared that we're going to screw up and you're going to kick our ass because you don't really give a f*** about us.
Is DeMeco Ryans Buddy Kilmer? 713-780-3776. No, I'm kidding. Is Nick Caserio Buddy Kilmer?
There we go.
Robo Caserio, just not thinking about the mortality of humanity. Maybe. Yeah, I don't
just
know.
Ones and zeros. Too.
1-0, 1-0, 1-1-1. Put Tytus Howard back out there. Doesn't matter if he's on a cart. It is interesting to know that the Texans have had some guys play through injuries. It did remind me of the Houston Astros for just a moment as well, because these guys are in a totally effed situation whenever they're asked to speak about somebody's injury. You know, it's funny. We should have like a doctor, maybe a team doctor, speak on these players every single week. And instead, like, hey, let's get a coach who knows nothing about this and who wants these guys to play to talk about it. And on top of that, too, the other factor that no one really talks about with football, there's a lot of guys who play injured. And when they play injured, they want to play.
Yeah.
They feel bad or guilty or like they're going to get cut if they don't play when they're hurt. And I think often people will focus on a player playing through an injury and say, well, the doctor should have known better. But the other problem that these doctors have is they essentially have to tell these players, yo, you can't go. Good luck doing that at quarterback. Like, that's why you see guys who clearly suffered concussions come back in games. Hell, I mean, we've probably seen C.J. Stroud come back in from a concussion this year. I know there was at least one play. I don't remember if it was the Cardinals game or if it was against the Jaguars.
He got blown up against the Cardinals.
That was it. Okay, Sean. Yeah, he got smoked.
Yeah.
He got absolutely smoked. And he was slow getting up. He came out for a play. I mean, Davis Effin Mills came into the game for a moment.
And they had him throw, too.
They
I
did.
That was crazy.
No, it was a screen pass. I was like, I was a throw.
I guess. That is the most safe throw for him.
Is it? Is it? I don't know.
There's no such thing as safe throws, I guess. But,
it's a throw to the sideline.
Yeah. But it is – you do bring up a good point with, like, there's a whole bunch of different factors and incentives for these guys. A lot of times the players want to play.
Yeah.
A lot of times the coach wants them to play because they're super – it's like
– right.
They, would you rather have –
Take you that know, needle, Billy Bob.
Yeah, would you rather have dinged up Jonathan Moxley? No, would you rather have dinged up C.J. Stroud or 100% Davis Mills?
Yeah.
If your job depends on it?
Oh, 100%.
So I do see how it gets complicated, and a lot of guys play through injuries, and we never find out because it's just so – it's so kind of industry standard, so to speak, in the NFL. And when we see guys just, like, stop playing good for all of a sudden – that is something where you want to, like, be – maybe he's injured, but you also don't want to recklessly speculate. So there,
exactly.
There becomes a whole bunch of different complicating issues.
I saw conversations amongst Texans Twitter, which is, I guess
– great place.
It's been a little toxic the last couple of days.
What?
Yeah, it's been a little toxic. Yeah. Well, there's one guy that's saying, like, you shouldn't watch film. And there's a part of me that agrees with him, but it's because I'm lazy and I don't want to watch film.
Thank you for the excuse.
That's why I agree with him. I'm like, you know what? I agree with him. I don't want to do this, and all these other people are making me look bad. But at least I'm honest about it. Like, yeah. they're putting in effort, and I'm rewatching Breaking Bad for the 8th time. Mm. Guess what episode I saw last night?
Which one?
Oh, dude. Tight. No, not that one. I saw the episode where Jesse, he like goes into a meth house. And
with the ATM?
The later meth house. And there's this one guy who just keeps on yelling, Tucker! 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 And I don't know why, but it's stuck in my head. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But to go back to that text on Twitter conversation, conversation, there's a lot of people that I think were looking at the Texans the way that they're handling injuries and actually using it as a way to criticize. I'd like to, but it's so tricky in football. Baseball, I think it is a little bit different.
Yeah, and if they're... If there's more than a one, or not even a one-year sample size, a 12-week sample size with this, maybe a little bit more if you want to start in training camp with Kenyon Green. But there needs to be at least a year or two of this, of these kind of injuries stacking up and the, are they practicing too hard? Is XYZ happening before you catch the Astros? Body of work, because the Astros do have a pretty good body of work. Most of it, I do think, for the Astros, maybe this is just giving them credit because I think they're a smart organization and like they're always looking for these kind of little edges and stuff. Most of it, I do think, is intentional. They are trying to mislead the Mark Bermans, the Brian McTaggarts, Chandler Rhomes of the world.
Like, I think Dusty got burnt once.
They're actively trying to mislead when it comes to injuries.
And the other factor is that whenever Lance McCullers talks about his injury, we're just like, shut up, Lance! Stop talking!
Yes,
you're just making everyone mad! Because he did it recently. He did it the other day. Yeah. I think he said that like now it's a 13-month recovery or something like that. But what does that even mean when it comes to Lance McCullers anyway? Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I've got a couple of people on the Twitch talking about Breaking Bad episodes. Someone said, "En Fuentes Respector, I hate the Fly episode so much." You know what? I love the Fly episode.
Really?
Well, if you watch it back a couple of times, there's some really deep conversation in that episode that was done because they ran out of budget.
Yeah, because there's like three explosions in that series season. Like, wasn't it because like
probably
was that the one spoiler alert, where Gus?
That's season four.
Okay.
This is season. Three. Yeah, this is pre.
It was when they're working for
this
Gus,
is
though,
pre.
Right?
Spoiler alert: Killing Gale. Anyway, Paul Gallacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What's your favorite Breaking Bad scene? I'm just kidding. Coming up next, the most insufferable player in the NFL continues his reign of being annoying AF. And have you ever purposefully mispronounced someone's name? Who's one of the biggest bigwigs in the NFL? He's doing that. But first, guys, I have to tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You sign up, they are going to match your first deposit up to $1,000. Did you listen to me yesterday? Paul Gallant's making you money. That's what he does. You know, it's the hit song that's sweeping America. And in tonight's Thursday night football game, guys, you got to go hard on the Dallas Cowboys. Normally, I stay away from Thursday games. However, the Cowboys have had a full week off. The Seahawks have had a full week off. This is about as normal as far as prep and build up to a game of a Thursday night game as you're ever going to see. The Cowboys are now 9.5-point favorites over the Seahawks. I would take them. I'm taking them in the points. You know why? Because the Seahawks' defense has been bad of late. Geno Smith has been bad of late. And the Cowboys have been feasting on lots of teams that stink. That's why Dak Prescott's all of a sudden in the MVP conversation. So, again, telling you right now, bet975, promo code, you use that, you deposit up to $1,000. Put all that money on the Cowboys to win tonight. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
Biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Okay, guys. There might be a world where Aaron Rodgers, a man who doesn't love the attention, a man who doesn't love the spotlight, a man who told everybody that thought his Achilles injury might be fake on the Pat McAfee show, they could go bleep off. Guess what? The New York Jets have designated him to return from injury. So they open that up. He has 21 days to be activated to the Jets active roster. You know who plays the Houston Texans on December 10th? Aaron Rodgers.
Whoa. You're saying he doesn't even need all 21 days to come back from a Achilles injury from 3 months ago?
We're going to talk about Russell Wilson in great detail in the 11 o'clock segment and just how extra he is. Mm. I'm wondering if there is something.
Main character energy?
The worst kind of main character energy, but also snake oil salesman too. I'm curious to know if Aaron Rodgers is going to start hawking something that talks about that helped him theoretically come back from that torn Achilles.
Well, his doctor, whoever the surgeon is that has come up with a new way to maybe fix Achilles, at least fix it enough to where he can walk on the sideline and throw passes.
That's step one, Sean.
But I'm just saying, that guy is going to get a lot of shout-outs on Pat McAfee shows going forward.
No doubt. Maybe a little commission if you enter promo code Pat McAfee whenever you sign up for your Achilles surgery. But the next step, Sean, if Aaron Rodgers really knows what he's doing and really wants to make money, he is going to do this. He is going to start marketing some sort of concussion water like Russell Wilson was an investor in about a decade ago. We'll talk more about that at 11 o'clock. Caleb Williams, USC quarterback. Remember when everyone said, the Texans should draft anyone in the draft? They should wait until Caleb Williams becomes available.
Yeah, just be the worst team in the league another year.
Yeah. Why did you fire? I can't believe they fired Lovie Smith. You know, imagine where they would be if they still had Lovie Smith or if they hired Josh McCown. I don't think Caleb Williams would want to come here, and I think the Texans would probably be circling the drain.
They can hire Josh McCown again this year, though.
They could.
He is available.
Hey, when Bobby Slowick gets a head coaching job somewhere else, Josh McCown is offensive coordinator? Huh?
Or
huh?
No, Gerard Johnson becomes the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M.
Ooh, because that could happen too.
Yeah, Bobby Slowick gets a head coaching job.
Gerard Johnson.
I'm only half joking.
Gerard Johnson's greatest accomplishment was at the Texans flagship combine that we had for shaving 0.3 seconds off of my 40s in 10 minutes of instruction. I'm not kidding.
Just by telling you, like, here's how you set your feet.
Yeah.
Boom.
Gerard Johnson coached me.
Great coach.
So, I mean,
are you sure, you're one of his success stories?
I'm his biggest success story. Like, I was helping people, you know, reminded people that all district safety was one of the fastest men alive.
in that district of football.
Specifically in the teams that were playing in St. Petersburg, because Fort Meade was way better than all of us. Anyway, hey, wait, Caleb Williams. He says it's a game-time decision whether he'll declare for the 2024 NFL Draft. And you know what? I can't wait until March and whoever has the number one overall pick and to see how he handles it. I cannot wait. I'm just glad this is no longer our problem, aren't you?
New England Patriot Caleb Williams.
Oh, don't say that. I don't want him. I don't want him. I don't want him, and I don't even have rational reasons for it. It's like, well, he's a USC quarterback, so he's a bust automatically, much like we have the bias against Ohio State quarterbacks.
Yeah,
and the other
they
thing
all
is,
stink.
He cried after a loss. He likes to cuddle with his dogs, doesn't like to cuddle with a cat. I mean, those are things that you got to hold against him.
Yeah, no, I just want Caleb Williams on the Patriots because I don't feel like I got my money's worth with Kyrie on the Celtics. I only want star athletes that drive Boston.
You're pulling me.
Or just specifically Boston people insane.
Yeah.
To play in Boston.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Again, you want me mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, the show is generally better when I'm mad.
Yeah,
to be perfectly honest.
Yeah,
but I don't want that. I don't want that in my life. Hey, David Tepper doesn't want Frank Reich in his life anymore. Something that was noticed by a couple of people: David Tepper mispronounced Frank Reich's name, called him Reich. Jeez, that kind of implication on Frank. That's not cool. He called him that twice during that press conference announcing the firing of Reich. Here is David Tepper in the middle of that really long and rambling answer that confused the hell out of us that we played yesterday.
And I supported Frank Reich. So whatever's good, bad, or indifferent is ultimately because the buck stops here, and I take full responsibility for everything.
Anyway, we'll get to another story that's kind of a downer in just a moment about a Texas A&M Aggie legend and a Buffalo Bill. But to continue this, it's interesting to note that Reich had his name pronounced that way by Tepper. Per Pro Football Talk, a source told them that Tepper mispronounces people's names to keep them in their place. I gotta say, I kind of like it. Obviously, it looks pretty petty right now, given that Tepper's the guy that hired him. But the idea of mispronouncing someone's name to basically remind them, yeah, I don't think you matter, I think it is a pretty big boss move.
Well, because he also literally has, like, brass testicles on his desk.
Tepper has brass testicles on his desk?
Yes.
Non-ironically.
Non-ironically. I think he's, he watched, I don't know what, 1980s movie with a boss in it, and he was like, hell yeah. That's how I'm going.
Oh, I know what he watched. He watched the movie with Alec Baldwin, Coffee for Closers. You know what I'm talking about,
Gary,
right?
Glenn Ross?
Yeah, Gary Glenn Ross. That's what he watched. That's got to be that, 100%.
F you, look at my watch. That's what he did.
I used to have one of my football coaches used to mispronounce my name all the time.
Gallant?
No, you'd call me Gaylant. No, I'm just kidding. That's most of our texters and Twitchers.
Yeah.
No, there would be a lot of people that would call me Gallant. You're right. And he did that to get under my skin. And guess what? It worked. That guy was my best coach. He hated me, too. He hated me.
Oh, no. Gerard Johnson's your best coach.
Oh, wait. My bad. Gerard
Only
Johnson.
10 minutes of time. Imagine what he would have done with the full season. Number two, coach whatever.
Coach Field. I always wanted the respect of Coach Field so badly. Like, I wanted to earn it, and I never got it.
Ouch.
I know.
Even as an all-district safety?
Oh, yeah. I think he rolled his eyes when I got that. I'm not even kidding. I think he did. He was a good guy, though. He was a good coach, too. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's our token Taylor Swift story. There's a Taylor Swift class at Harvard, and it will include a relationship with Travis Kelce in the curriculum. So another reason to go to Harvard, guys. Another reason to go to Harvard.
At what point does Harvard, start getting, knocked down the prestigious rankings?
I would say the study that they put out over the course of the past week, Sean, that says that, hey, if you want to change your life, you should go to a IHOP or Chili's and look for a rich person and then try to start a conversation with them. Because they actually put out a study this week that said that. I would say that's probably where it all went downhill, but shout out to my sister, Harvard graduate. Anyway.
Ouch.
I know.
That was a nice little shot that you
shot
yeah,
out.
Yeah, she went to Harvard, but have you seen have you seen what they've been up to?
This is what I tell my parents all the time. Like, I'm not a failure.
Yeah, great inflation, am I right?
Oh, this is not a good story, and I believe that we have seen something like this not that long ago, but Von Miller's longtime girlfriend, who's pregnant, accused him of assaulting her Wednesday while at their home in Dallas. An arrest warrant has been issued on charge of assaulting a pregnant person. So there you go. Not great news for the Buffalo Bills, and just an awful story to read. Tyreek Hill-esque. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, coming up next. How are you supposed to grade a performance by a young, hopefully Houston star, when his statistics were great, but he had a viral moment where he looked like he wasn't trying? How are you supposed to grade someone like that? We'll talk about who that player is next. First, though, I got to tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Can't wait to watch a little TNF tonight. Going to pour myself another glass of Pendleton Whiskey. You know how I do it. Two fingers, drop a rock in. It's smooth. It's refreshing. It's not too sweet. Just the way I like it, made with the finest northern grains, Pendleton Whiskey, and cut with Mount Hood Glacier Water, a whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us and honors the enduring legacy of the American West in every single bottle. So let me tell you about a drink you can make if you don't want to just drink it straight. How about the original cowboy? No, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about a drink that you can make with whiskey sours and whiskey soda. A little Pendleton, lemon juice, syrup, soda water, cherry, and a lemon wheel. Oh, baby, you got yourself an original cowboy, one of many drinks you could make with Pendleton Whiskey. Check out their website. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
The Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios is currently nestled in the River House at East River 9, where you can observe the Paul Gallant Show. He says it's the most interactive show in Houston. I'd say you're allowed to interact with him however you please.
I mean, it is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
Don't let the afternoon show get it twisted. They try to twist it from time to time. From the 832. From the 832. Oh, Sean, guess what?
What?
Coach Field was listening. Text her from the 832. He moved to Houston. That's interesting. Coach Field texting in, "You suck at radio just like you suck at football."
Damn.
But you once told me that I could be a linebacker for you any day.
You basically did just live like all the like Friday Night Lights Varsity Blues storyline.
Yeah. Oh, I played through a cold once.
And allergies.
Oh, and allergies.
And
wow.
One time a guy stepped on my hand and it was bruised. Also, one time a guy kneed me and stepped on my stuff in one play, and I wasn't wearing a cup.
Ouch.
So that stuff was black and blue for a couple weeks.
Did you see that happen to
I did.
Mike McDaniel?
I did. Not good.
Yeah. That's my entire intake of the Hard Knocks, in-season Hard Knocks. And the actual training camp Hard Knocks is just like social media clips of Mike McDaniel.
Didn't someone's mom like have chicken wings dumped on her too or something?
No, that was Tyreek Hill's wife.
Oh.
She like celebrated a play and knocked nachos from the guy behind her on her head. People try to make it the nacho guy's fault, but it's like very clearly it hit like she hit his hand.
Wow, more outrage for the nacho guy than for Tyreek Hill. Interesting.
Okay, keep it moving.
Hey, another text. Who would win a street fight between Jet Li and Jean-Claude Van Damme in their prime? That is a great question.
Well, let you answer first. I have an answer.
It's Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Well, the thing about a street fight is the street always wins.
That's, Dom Toretto would have won.
Yes, that's what Dom Toretto taught me at the end of Furious 7.
Jet Li would have won. Jet Li would win in I think, very, very quickly. I think Jean-Claude Van Damme is a show pony fighter.
Yes.
And I do think Jean-Claude Van Damme is a very good dancer. I forget what movie that is, but just look up Jean-Claude Van Damme dancing. Also, look up the Chris Pratt song about Jean-Claude Van Damme in the maybe greatest sports action movie of all time, Sudden Death. It is a great movie. If you've never seen it, watch it. I won't spoil that one.
That's a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
It's a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
How does Chris Pratt...
Chris Pratt sings a song about it in the TV show Parks and Rec.
Oh, okay.
We got to play it on the air. Anyway, listen, we're burying the lead here because
are we?
The shut up. Wait, live at East River 9.
The lead wasn't Jet Li versus Jean-Claude
McDonald? No. But I think Jet Li would win. The Denver Nuggets. I mean, they're basically the Jet Li or Jackie Chan of the NBA right now, right? Talking about like best martial artist, movie actor of all time. The Nuggets finally beat their daddies, the Houston Rockets, 134-124. Rockets getting torched defensively the last couple of nights. It's the second night of a back-to-back, and there were some Rockets players who didn't play. So nothing to get worked up about. It is annoying that they still have yet to win a single game on the road. They're 8-8, but they're 0-7 on the road. This was a game where Jalen Green, statistically, played well.
Yes. Scored 20 points in the third quarter and
did not
miss a shot.
It was pretty damn impressive. An efficient game from Jalen Green. That's the kind of game I like to see. So you look at the numbers. 26 points, 9 assists on a game where Fred VanVleet was injured and couldn't play, 6 rebounds, 8 of 12 from the field, 5 of 8 from outside. He's very volatile. The up and down nature of Jalen Green. If he ever wants to live up to the promise of the second overall pick, he has to become a little more consistent. We had Vanessa Richardson on yesterday, and she says that she does think that Ime Udoka and Jalen Green are clicking together, maybe not to the same degree that Ime Udoka and Alperen Şengün are. But there was a moment in this game, and it does make me wonder if this is something that can be coached out of Jalen Green. It's just one play, but it is an all-time no effort, no attentions paid play with about 3 minutes to go in the first quarter. I think the Rockets got called for a foul, and the Nuggets just decided, yeah, we're just going to push the pace, pass the ball right by Jalen Green to a guy that was to his right, and Green turns around very slowly and then almost tries to run, which would not have resulted in him getting a defensive stop. It just looks bad with how he starts to run, and then he just kind of walks towards the basket. It's one moment. Lots of players in the NBA have moments where they look bad defensively. That's why the term posterization exists.
Yeah.
But it is one of those moments, Sean, that makes me wonder if you're ever going to be able to coach all of the bad habits that Jalen Green might have developed under Steven Silas without any pushback from Steven Silas over the last couple of years.
I mean, I don't think you could do it in 16 games.
That's true.
Like, that's where we're talking about one play 16 games into the first real NBA season that this dude's playing. And if you notice who's the guy who pushes the pace for the Denver Nuggets, it's this guy, Nikola Jokic, best player in the league, who did that. And
he's better than Alperen Şengün?
I think after last night, I think we can say it's tied.
Okay, good.
I'll give him tied. Jokic just does this about like 5 times a season to a team where he just, again, just pushes the pace and pass. They did it against the Lakers in the playoffs. They did it against the Thunder, I think, earlier this season. So
they catch you sleeping. They are a very good passing team.
So while I understand some Rockets fans might have a little bit of when did the first James Harden defense clip drop? Was that like 2014?
Well, the real ones.
2015?
The real ones saw it in 2012, but those are just the real ones.
Yeah, the
real one.
The first, like,
who could that be?
The first, okay, the first 15.
Well, I was asking who could be.
15 second, or the like compilation, or not 15 second, like 2 minutes.
If I had video editing capability, Sean, I would have done that so quickly because the other guy that I would have done it for was Jeremy Lin. I hated watching Jeremy Lin play. He stunk, and Patrick Beverley should have played for him. Wow, congratulations! You have a good month playing for the New York Knicks. Yeah. And I remember people called me racist because I thought Jeremy Lin wasn't that good. Sorry, I don't think a guy who doesn't play defense and who turns the ball over comically wasn't that good. But anyway, yes, to your point, it was probably around 2014 where the first clip came up. And to go back to Jalen Green.
Our victory lap of the 2013 Rockets
is
over.
I'm shaking my old habits hard, just like Jalen Green.
It's the 10-year anniversary of Paul was right about Jeremy Lin.
Sean calls me out, rightfully so, for constantly bringing up the past with the Rockets.
I got my driver's license the same year he had this take.
So you've said before, I do need to turn a page with the Rockets. I'm trying. You're right. With Jalen Green, I think you're right in that it's going to take time for him to 100% be giving effort in, I think, every single moment that he can. It's a moment like that, though, and then the volatility of a game like he had on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
That's where the people that are looking for reasons to criticize Jalen Green, of which there are, I think,
there's
many,
a large amount.
Which is, and I think it's fair. I'm willing to say, all right, the pass is the pass, and I don't care about the Josh Christopher video. I'm willing to say that. Well, that's another factor with, I think, some of the people that are bringing it up. I think they don't like him because of that moment in time. And look, it's a weird moment, but that has nothing to do with him as an actual basketball player.
They would hate Northwestern football. I'll just say that.
I'm wearing a Shrek mask?
Yeah, they would hate fraternities.
that's for sure, too. So I think the thing with Green is the volatility is something that I don't know how that gets better.
Yeah.
You're not a failure in the NBA if you have a great night after a bad night, but that is how you end up on like a bottom 15 team making the most money on that team.
That I will say, like, Jalen Green already has showed enough to, like, this guy will have like a decade long NBA career. Like, if he just doesn't change a thing, he can be like a six man somewhere for as long as he probably can play NBA basketball. The way he makes the step into being like the, you know, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, Zach LaVine level.
Interesting you brought up those two names, because someone texted in, we talk about Green now the way we talked about LaVine and Booker.
Yes. No, the Devin Booker discourse, his third year in the league, is basically the exact same as Jalen Green's, where it's like, puts up big numbers on a team that doesn't win anything, doesn't, like, just kind of has nights where he goes off. He obviously had, honestly, the most embarrassing, like, 70-point game of all time, where he scored 70 points in a loss to the Celtics. And the Suns were, like, intentionally fouling the Celtics while they were losing to get more possessions for Devin Booker so he can score 70
points. I like it. They're playing to the end.
the point differential. the in-season tournament
lived on. Yeah, they were ahead of their time.
In the 2017 Suns. But that's why, you know, when you think about guys like Devin Booker, the arc for him wasn't until, like, 2020, where he actually became a really good NBA player every night. And that's why Jalen Green, I look more for getting nights like tonight and how he can build on it, because that's how he becomes a useful NBA player. He's going to be volatile as a 21-year-old playing in an offensive system for the first time maybe in his life.
Yeah.
He's playing in an actual
offensive system.
He is playing in an offensive system. And especially having this night, this good night, in a game that Fred VanVleet sat, because you would think that, you know, going back to the no real point guard days, like the first 2 years of his career, he might fall back into those old habits, and like offensively speaking. And it was the opposite. He actually did a good job carrying the offense.
He is Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. We're at East River 9 today for the Paul Gallant Show. We're going to be at Nick's Place tomorrow, which is also awesome. Come out, hang out with us. We're here all day long. Coming up next, authenticity is very important when you're a quarterback in the NFL. CJ Stroud seems very authentic. Russell Wilson, a man I used to cover, the exact opposite. Want to know how weird Russ is? Stay tuned. You will laugh your ass off in the next segment. It's the Paul Gallant Show. First, I got to tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975 when you sign up.
Paul, I'm here at East River 9, and you're wearing a Seahawks shirt. Are you going to pick the Seahawks at Thursday Night Football?
No, I'm not an idiot. Geno Smith stinks. The Seahawks defense, not playing well. Cowboys are 9.5-point favorites. The Cowboys are killing everyone this year, and it's Thursday Night Football. But both of these teams have had a week off. They've had a full week to prep. I think the Cowboys are going to murder the Seahawks tonight. I think Al Michaels is going to be checked out in the middle of the second quarter. I feel like he's going to be bringing up, I don't know, maybe Dolly Parton in the same way that Tony Romo did, and hoping that she comes out at halftime to save him. MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. They will match your initial deposit up to $1,000. Sign up. Put a big big old deposit in there. Put it right away because there's no hoops or tricks. Put it right on that game. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of Old Greg.
I know what you're thinking. Here comes Old Greg. He's a scaly manfish. I'm Old Greg!
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Warm season's greetings to you all.